Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But first of all, I just want to talk about today, about the borders, and it's probably going to take our entire program, and I want you to really connect because we're going to take you to the borders. We're going to take you with Senator Ted Cruz and Congressman Gohmert.
Louie Gohmert
with Dr. Avita King, Glenn Beck with Mercury One, a sister, I think Naomi with Sacred Heart, Catholic Services there on the border. We want to take you there because for some reason the media is not showing up.
Hmm.
But through Mercury One, VFN TV is showing up because we're going to show you some footage. This is going to really help you connect. And it's very important how we respond. Yes, there's supposed to be justice. There is supposed to be justice, but understand, and we've been praying for justice, but we pray that God's mercy would triumph over his justice.
Yeah.
And so there's two things that come together when you're praying for justice, because when you really think about it, that if we just say, God, 100% justice now, none of us win. But if we say, dear Lord, begin to put things back in order again, that's justice.
Mm-hmm.
But pray, Lord, that you would put your mercy on this, that, you know, it would say like almost time out. Nobody goes to jail in this one. Everything goes right. Everybody's forgiven if you just get to your place. It's called repentance. And No One Cries for Justice is available to all of our partners there. Don't forget, you know, by partnering with VFN TV, you have all that available for you. So go to VFN TV if you want to. And it's very important to have a word aspect and perspective of what's going on. So what does that mean? I mean, you think about this. I'm going to read to you from a prophet, Isaiah. And he begins to tell us, he describes the American church. And when I talk, you hear about people talk about the American church, and you've heard us say some things, and we are the American church, is it's not because of saying things like, oh, they're just bad, and we're just bad, and there's no hope. It's saying, okay, this is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
On this chess game, on this board, this direction, this map, okay, we can acknowledge where we're at. And then we would say, but where do we need to be?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the cross is over there? We need to get over there to the cross. The word's over there. Let's go over there. So it's not about being critical. It's about, you know, God is, he's looking for us to save us and to forgive us. But he's waiting for us to repent so that times of refreshing can come upon
mm-hmm.
us. So.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking about this, don't you know, if this is you, you know, don't take it critically. And I have a lot of areas when I'm looking at this and thinking, man, this is challenging me. But we have to begin. I mean, I see so many people, they want to fast, you know, food and water and all that. But I'll be honest with you, they treat people like crap.
Mm-hmm.
They treat their spouses like crap. They treat their kids like crap. They treat their bosses and employees terribly. They treat fellow ministers terribly. They plot and scheme against fellow Christians, Christians to Christians. And you think, well, how could that be? Isaiah 58 talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the kind of fast. And the reason why this is kind of the this is leading us into our borders. We have to understand that 95% of Christians in America do not win one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime, which means they definitely don't go to the mission field.
Mm.
Which, in other words, we don't lay down our life for the cause of the commandment and what God, Jesus told us to do. And so we just want to figure this out, you know? Where are we on the map? Where are we on this map? And when you read Isaiah 58 and think about, don't think, okay, this was Israel. This could never be anybody else. This definitely couldn't be the American church, the richest church in the world, you know, the richest nation in the world, our poorest folks. Of course, we always say it's richer than 70%+ of the world's population.
Mm-hmm.
To much is given, much is expected.
That's right.
And so Isaiah 58. So think about, we're going to go to the borders. You're going to see these children. It's going to break your heart, but it's going to encourage you too, because you're going to see how you can make a difference. And you're going to be able to see how pastors are coming together on the border. Some of the poorest zip codes in America are coming together with you, Americans, who are saying, I want to give money to those pastors. I want to go down and help them, support them. And they're going to talk about, the pastors are starting to say, you know, you've been kind of like a catalyst of compassion, and now we have this stirring in us, and now, oh, it's powerful. I mean, it's very powerful. But first, we have to understand that what's going on here, because people are, you hear people that call themselves Christians are marching up and down with signs saying, send these folks away. And you're talking about a 2-year-old kid, 4-year-old kid, you know, who, the woman, well, I what is a way? Send me to what? I mean, do we even know what it's like outside of us? You know, if we're not going to the mission field and we're not, you know, interested in anything other than these live television shows, whatever they're called,
reality TV
shows, we're definitely not watching reality Nicaragua, you know, those type of things going on.
It would not make
good TV.
No.
So let's look at just real quick, like before we go to this break, we're going to come back. But what did the prophet Isaiah say, other than he prophesied about the coming of the Lord and our salvation and forgiveness and all these things? Let's see what else he said. He said in verse 1, chapter 58, he says, shout to the Lord. He says, shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voices like a trumpet. Declare to my people, so this is to the people of God, their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. So he's saying, you know, we actually go somewhere, we go to church or something, we turn on something religious. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways. They seem eager to know my ways. As if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commandments of its God. In other words, you think about that, that we're going through as a nation in America. I mean, we got all the talk down. We got all the jargon down. I mean, we're saying, you know, get me a Bible. We got so many Bibles in America, it's ridiculous. How many Bibles per family?
It's like four Bibles per family.
And how many people are actually not picking them up?
81%.
So even though we have a lot of Bibles, we're not even picking them up. But if you look, if somebody who don't know God looked at that person's house, they go, whew, man, you got four Bibles in your house. Four Bibles in your house. I don't even know. The last one I got was in jail, and I think I left it.
Yeah.
They won't even know, you know.
Four in the house and one in the car.
So it's a form of godliness, but it's not true. And so, in other words, that kind of sounds like America to me. They asked me for just decisions. Justice. God, bring justice here in this whole situation. And seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves? Okay, we hadn't done that yet. And you have not noticed. Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit your workers. We don't exploit workers here in America. We exploit them in other countries.
Yeah, right.
So that's why we got good prices in Walmart.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
According to John. And so he said, you exploit your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. And in striking each other with wicked fists, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? If it is only for bowing one's head like a reed, for lying in sackcloth and ashes, is that what you call a fast, a day of acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Now, this is the kind of fasting he's chosen. To loose the chains of injustice. To untie the cords of the yoke. Those things that tie people down. To set the oppressed free. And to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with these children coming over the border?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer. And these guys are wandering over our border. The poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them, and to not turn away, Church of America, to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. These human beings are created in the likeness of God. Don't forget about politics. And he says, when you do this, and this is what we want, he says, then your light will shine forth like the dawn, and your healing like will come up quickly, it'll appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call upon the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of fingers and malicious talk, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine in darkness, and your night become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the old foundations, and you will be a repairer of broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings. In other words, we have to respond. This is the fasting. So I want to encourage you, first of all, move outside of the 97% who are giving nothing to God and say, you know what, I'm going to give. And if you can't find anybody that can give, give to those churches on, and if people have political agendas that are going like, oh, this will support some sort of politician or something, get past that and go to these kids. And we're going to show you some video today that's going to touch your heart. If you'll look into this, if you see it with your eyes, you're going to have compassion and you are going to want to give like Donna and I have and others have. And we just want to be a part of responding to what a true fast is in America. We are going right in here. A video from the footage, a video from the, our borders. Thank you to Mercury One. And just compassionate. You know, how do we, okay, yes, we need justice, but what about mercy? And we've been praying for years now. You know, God, bring justice, but let your mercy triumph over justice. And this is like a huge answer to prayer. And you're looking at Senator Ted Cruz, Congressman
Louie Gohmert.
You're looking at Dr. Evita King. You're looking at Glenn Beck of the Blaze TV and other leaders that are down here, pastors coming from around the border down there. And we just want to connect you to this. And first of all, just take a look at this. Remember, this is a human thing. This has nothing to do with politics. Listen up. Watch.
It felt like the right thing to do to come and to give and to make it a humanitarian thing and not a political thing.
It makes you realize that it's less about what country you're from and that citizenship, but more about just the human spirit and helping other people.
This whole thing started, of course, with compassion in Glenn Beck's heart. He's a television personality, started Mercury One. He has the Blaze Television Network. He was on Fox and also on CNN. And he's realized that, you know, this thing's about mercy. We've got to be kind to folks. This has nothing to do with politics. This is about God's eyes. And he just asked you, America, to say, you know, will you give? You know, and a lot of folks begin to talk about justice and like, no, we're not going to give. You're just supporting. And he's like, whatever. But others gave over $2 million from you. Americans came in to be able to give. That goes right down, 100% of it goes down to the border. And it's just such an honor because you're trying to get it there. And I did call a couple of faithful ministries that do these type of things, and I was shocked to find out they had no opinion on it.
Wow.
Because they're caught between justice and mercy. But it's like you're not when you're over in other countries and you have people flooding the borders of Jordan, you're over there supporting state. What's happening in America? This is the big time. We got to beat the church, you know?
This is what the Word of God says. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. Right. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born.
Yes.
And as reminding Israel, just like you lived as foreigners in Egypt.
Wow. This is not about America. This is about the church because we have to respond. And they'll see the love of God. And so this all started like at 4 o'clock in the morning when Glenn Beck and Congressman Gohmert was out there on the border. Take a look at this. They're at the 4 o'clock in the morning. They're beginning to look at the problem.
So where's Mexico?
Just right there. You're looking at it.
That's it?
That's it, right there.
How deep is the water here?
They say 6-7 feet, and it's moving strong enough. You need to be a good swimmer if you try to cross
it. It looks totally calm. Looks stagnant.
Well, you can see movement
I know,
around the limbs up here, but
I don't see the problem getting over.
The only problem for the coyotes, drug cartels sending people over is they don't want to be caught. The people want to be caught. They're going to turn themselves in. Well, not all of them, but you know, the people that want to stay.
Not the Syrians.
Yeah. Not the Syrians, yeah. And so the coyotes don't want to be caught, but they were telling us last night that DPS and Border Patrol have some boats, mainly Texas Department of Public Safety, and when they come up and they've caught a coyote and he can't get back in time, you know, they'll hit the raft and they'll do everything they can to catch him. He will go under their boat. He will go around. He'll do everything in his power to keep from getting caught. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah,
so I thought they just grabbed him.
He'll grab onto the motor. Now, you're talking about a propeller.
Just to
grab one on the motor and work his way around just to get to the other side.
How much are they making?
Well, that's what they were pointing out last night. They said, okay, several hours ago, they caught two groups, 40, 45, total of 90. They just, and they said, most of them said they paid about $7,000 to get here.
Each, right?
Mm-hmm. Each.
Yeah. Now, that's just so to get from there to here?
Just, well,
that's,
no, to
so
come
from South America.
Or Central America. And so just that 90 people, do the math, is $630,000 just in those two groups.
To deliver them to their logistics group.
Us. If y'all don't mind, let's go down where you see some rafts and some stuff that have got. Sometimes they'll just give them a life preserver around their neck and then, you know, have them hold on together and then get them across if they think they've got time. But it's much quicker on a raft, zoom across, nearly throw them out, and then zoom back across. And they don't want to lose their raft. That's their money.
As I'm looking at this terrain, and this is all I've thought of the whole time, is my son's nine. My daughter's eight. I can't imagine sending them, giving them to a drug lord and sending them alone like this. I wouldn't do it. Who's doing this? What kind of, I don't understand the peril that people are in, and I know that they want to escape to a better life and they want to get away from the drug lords and everything else, but they're giving their life to the drug lord.
Bingo.
And they're saying, I'll work the rest of it off. So they know they're going to be involved in criminal activity.
Bingo.
And they're giving their kids to the drug lords. So who does that?
Glenn.
Yeah.
Look at this.
That's babies.
18-month-old baby.
Look at the garbage end of it, but look at this. That's a life jacket for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Look all at these are here. More life jackets over here.
Yep.
And they're all kids.
And see, you've got a couple of rafts here that have been destroyed. When the raft gets destroyed, then the coyote's out of business for a while. But you put people along this river, the coyotes don't come. They see them all along the river, they don't come.
What I'm just shocked by is all these life jackets are all for kids. They're all for kids.
Well, some of the Border Patrolmen were telling me that it's really a great thing that some of them have started using life jackets because...
They weren't before?
They weren't, yeah.
Oh my gosh, Glenn, look at that.
Someone's clothing.
Yeah, you find clothes all along through here. Yeah.
And it's a child's, look at that, it's a child's jacket.
You know, we talk about, how dangerous MS-13, they're fleeing MS-13. Border Patrolmen say MS-13 members are some of the lead people bringing them up here.
If I'm MS-13, I want this to go on. Because
of course.
I'm tying everybody up. I'm going some other direction. It's the biggest misdirection I've ever seen.
Right after this break, you're going to go right into seeing the detention facilities where they have these children that you're seeing their clothes right there on the border. We're going to carry you along. You're going to see Dr. Evita King, Congressman Louie Gohmert, which you just saw there, Senator Ted Cruz, Glenn Beck, the Mercury team there. And it's Mercury One. This is, man, you're going to be able to be a part of this. This is a chance for us to step up, forget about what everything else is going on. And let's do Isaiah 58. We're going back to the borders, thanks to Mercury One and Senator Ted Cruz, Congressman Louie Gohmert, Dr. Evita King, and the others, and these pastors that have come together on the border. The poorest zip code in America is said to be, but now, but thanks to you, America, over $2 million plus dollars is coming down to them in resources. As a matter of fact, let's just catch up. Here we are on the borders, and they're beginning to talk. These pastors are beginning to talk. Glenn Beck's beginning to talk. Watch this.
I think this is the beginning of something good. And And in some ways, we're somewhere in between Acts 1 and 2, I think, where Jesus is, he comes back and then he says, the apostles look at him and say, well, now's the time for revolution. And I can't imagine how dumb they had to be to think they was talking revolution like that. But and then he says, just take care of business. And they do. And they're all gathered in one place and of one accord. And that's what we're supposed to do now, is just be of one accord. So I just want to turn it over to you on how can we help you.
There's a revival of compassion taking place here in the valley right now. And that's what's happening. I mean, everybody, this thing is completely contagious, and it's taking over the whole Rio Grande. And God's allowed you to be a catalyst in that, to say, look, this is coming, the support, God is sending the troops, and you're not alone anymore. And it just caused a ripple effect through the body of Christ here in the valley. And man, this thing is getting all crazy. I mean, first time we wanted 300 volunteers for Sacred Heart, 600 showed up, 1,200 ended up volunteering. Okay? And then, you know, last night we were only needing, you know, 200, 250, over 500 showed up to volunteer last night. Okay? And so here we just, I mean, there's like they were saying, the number, everybody's just, what can I do? We're here to serve. And I mean, everybody's just going into that, getting into that rhythm of, hey, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're the church.
I got an email from David asking for preachers and pastors to come, and I debated long and hard. I have a newborn at home. Sat with my wife in bed. I said, do I go? She said, go. We've been comfortable. All of these church leaders that are sitting here, we've been comfortable in pews and pulpits. The Bible never talks about pews. Jesus' greatest command was to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he sums it up in a great commission at the end of Matthew and at the end of Mark. Not by saying stay and preach to one another, but go.
Yeah, so you're looking, these are pastors, and you're looking at when they brought this food down, these two truckloads went to the border, you saw the senators, the congressmen, and you're also seeing Alan Barton of Wallbuilders sitting there at the table. Those are pastors, and he's just saying, here, you know, take this thing. You know, what are you going to do with it? And he's just like, Jesus didn't teach. He didn't tell us to he didn't say anything about pews or preaching or teaching to each other. He said to go. Is this not exciting? This is exciting. If you have not been listening to VFN Radio or watching VFN TV, this is exciting to see what is happening in that. And now we want to take you to the detention center, thanks to Mercury One. And I want you to see, so you can see firsthand, forget about what people are telling you, because they will not allow, reports are, they will not allow anybody to take pictures of these kids. They will not, and no press is reporting on it other than the Blaze.
Yeah.
That if any Border Patrol officer reportedly takes one picture of that and sends it to anybody, they get fired instantly. And it's like, we take pictures of Ethiopian children and play it on our television so that we'll have compassion and people will give millions of dollars to bring food and to drill wells. If this is a humanitarian crisis on our border, but listen, church, forget about the world. This is us. We're seeing it. You're seeing it on VFN TV. Mm-hmm. So now we can do something about it. Watch this. This is actually in the detention facilities. You're going to see Ted Cruz, Dr. Vita King, Glenn Beck, and others as they're talking to this particular nun who they put her in charge eventually because she pressed. They would not let anybody in the church. They would not let any pastors in. They're actually training federal employees to be the clerics.
Wow.
You know, we got a two-week program. We're going to train them how to do that. They're not even letting pastors in. And she pushed her way in with Sacred Heart Catholic Services, a church down there. And they let her in, and she's making huge decisions now, as a matter of fact, about, but watch this, you got to see this.
So Glenn, we've got here food, we've got clothes, toys.
Shoes. Shoes was the main thing, when we called, but we just unloaded
We just unloaded eight full tractor trailers, and there'll be, I think, two tractor trailers coming every other week until October.
And this is the first place, really, isn't it, that they can take a shower and they can...
That's the first point of entry they come.
Right, because when immigration...
After they've been detained for like a week or so.
So after a while, we bring them here and we will help them contact their families. They can call their families in Honduras. They can call their families where they're traveling to. Mm-hmm. And then we make sure they're scheduled so they can get their bus so they can go ahead and leave from here. Yeah. And they're off.
So how many people come through the church here?
Ever since that first day that we opened the doors to start coordinating this, 200 people walked through these doors. And since then, it's been 180, 160,
And that's each day?
Every day. I think what I've learned in all this since we started doing this is that it's united us all together to show that we care. We've become one church, one people.
I was told a story at Lackland Air Force Base about a quadriplegic boy that was just dumped on this side of the river. Alive, but just lying on the shore, and they found him. But he couldn't move. He was paralyzed from the neck down. It was a 15-year-old boy just abandoned there.
We've got to fix the mercy part first, so the justice part can be fixed. But the mercy part is going awry, really awry.
We can never lose sight of the fight of that part.
It's got to be both. There's justice and mercy, both.
And ultimately, the merciful thing to do is to stop this problem.
Yeah.
To not have people subjected to what they're enduring coming through.
Correct. Shall we continue?
Sure.
Yes.
So they take showers here, and once they come out, the volunteers help them. They throw away all the dirty clothes that you can see right here. Everything's thrown away, and the clothes that they have here, they are able to get dressed.
So they get new clothes, and they get rid of the old ones here.
We throw all of that away.
Now, are you vaccinating people here?
We're vaccinating everybody that they say that almost everybody gets vaccinated.
Have there been many significant health challenges with the kids?
No, just usually upper respiratory infections, some viral illnesses, nothing that serious, which is kind of expected. They're hungry, they're dehydrated, and just need someone to take a check on them and make sure they're okay.
Powerful.
Wow.
We're seeing firsthand. Look, you're looking at Dr. Avita King. You're looking at Alan Barton with Wall Builders. You're looking at a whole round table full of pastors who are saying that, what have we been doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say anything about preaching to each other. He didn't say anything about, he's like, we go out and tell others about him. We make disciples of those who believe, but we don't have this religious, thing going on. And we do today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of a sudden we leave God for a form, some sort of, religious. I mean, if we can go spend our entire life not even picking up a Bible, calling ourselves a Christian, when this average, everybody has about four Bibles in their homes, 81% not even picking them up. If you pick them up, this is what these pastors who have been preaching from this word, they're saying is, this is what he told us to do. And you see Avita King holding her, Dr. King holding her hands up. Yeah, thank you. You finally got it. It's justice, yes, but there is no justice without mercy. We got so much more coming from these pastors in Texas, on the Texas-Mexican border, on the Rio Grande. It doesn't matter what the world's doing. It doesn't even matter. He says it doesn't matter what the president's doing. It matters what the church is doing. We are on the borders, thanks to Mercury One, and we're going to show you. As a matter of fact, you're going to be able to go to vfntv.com and go to links, and in there you're going to be able to see a way to give to Mercury One specifically for the borders. And the reports are, it's a nonprofit that 100% of it goes. This is where Don and I gave, and we did look around for other Christian organizations to be able to give to, but I'm not going to say who they were, and they're doing great works. But I asked specifically, what are you doing? Do you got a plan? Nothing on the rec, nothing right now. And just ones you would know. And, I'm not saying anything about them, but this money went directly down there into the hands of not only to the orphans, to the homeless, to for housing, food, even big load of soccer balls and teddy bears, but also There's money even going down to the Border Patrol, our fellow citizens who are working tirelessly. And presently, there'll be more, I'm sure, that's going to begin to get involved. It's beginning to build. But this is going to show, and Texas is a hub state. You know, one of the prophecies, you know, given by Chuck Pierce out of Corinth, Texas, that there's hub cities and hub areas, and Texas is a hub state. And you can see, if we watch what's happening in Texas, this is how we as the church should respond. This is a revival. What we need is compassion, not rules and all this kind of stuff. We need to care about folks.
Actually care about the poor that are among us. You know,
we give
to the poor. We're actually lending to God, and somehow we've forgotten that. But it's beautiful to see what's happening right there. I mean, it's just so heartwarming.
Mm-hmm. So we want to join now at this round table with these pastors. And you got to hear, these are ones on the front line. They were asked the question, as you heard, you know, should we go down there? Alan Barton is the one that called them with Wall Builders. He's sitting there as well at the table. Dr. Avita King. And these are pastors at this table. And we need to listen to what, you know, what's being said through them. But we can take their lead. They're being confronted with what we are being confronted with. Are we merciful? Are we compassionate? What are we doing? And remember what Jesus said. Whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. And whatever you didn't do to the least of mine, you didn't do to me. He's going to divide us up on that premise. Mm-hmm. Eternity will be based on that premise, how we responded to other folks. Because that's who we truly are. You know, we truly are lovers of God if we're lovers of our brother. Right. We truly are compassionate when we're not buying ourselves things. But we're buying other people things and investing into their future and meeting their needs. Just like Isaiah 58 said, let's go to that table full of pastors right there on the border in Texas.
We have to realize that it's God's people who bring up the solutions. We have to be the solutions. We have to go. How do we know if we can swim? We have to go into the waters. We can't expect somebody else to take care of these problems. I think that's been the biggest problem. We got into a temple and started praying and praying and praying, and it's coming. Oh, the revival's coming, and we're waiting for the tongue, the Holy Spirit. When we go to the Bible, when is the revival going to come? When we go out and take care of the problems outside, social problems. That's what Jesus did. What do you need? You need your eyes back? Here you go. What do you need? You need a daddy? Okay, you don't have one? Here, have my love. I'm your father. That's what it is. I think that's what's exploding in here, where we all see that there's something that we can do and that we don't have to expect that it's going to be somebody else. It ain't going to be our president. It ain't going to be our governor. It's we. Mm-hmm. And it's not about I. It's about we. We are going to make the difference. If our country, if our valley, if our city is going to go up to another level, it's going to be because of people who believe in God, who are willing to stand up and say, hey, this time I'm not here to tell you what's my problem. I'm here with a solution. Can you give me an opportunity? We want to do this. Give me a chance. If it doesn't work, we'll go back to your system. Try out my system. And you know what? They're going to see that trusting God does work.
How do we continue to expand on the idea of his church, not my church or your church, his church?
Can I take a shot at that?
Yeah.
There, I was in discussion and watching today and going and seeing everything we've seen. There's two things that really jumped back out at me, because a lot of the criticism of what was going to happen today was offered by people of faith. It was offered by church people saying, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. And I remember that when God set up his nation, Israel, in the Old Testament, and he laid out his laws, there's a section where he deals with the poor and the needy. And I thought what he told his people was really significant. He says, when you see someone in need, he says, do not turn your eyes away from them and do not turn your heart. He said, you look at their need. And I was thinking today, you know, if people had stared at what we saw today, the only way you can ignore that is you have to turn your head away from it. And when you do, your heart gets cold. So what happens is church people say, I don't like that. And they just turn their head away from it. If you'll stare at that need, God will draw your heart into it and you will do something.
You know, I was moved with compassion. That's what prompted me to come here. And the church has not been moved with compassion. The scripture says Jesus was moved with compassion. And that's why he healed people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that one of the signs of his coming and the end of the age would be that that iniquity would abound and the love of many would wax cold. When the love of God that is inside of us by the Holy Spirit waxes cold in us as his people, it's because iniquity has abounded. The church really needs to wake up. And the only way the church is going to wake up is it's going to take prayer for God to turn the heart. Because he said, if you pray, the heart of man is in the hand of the Lord, and he will turn it wherever he will. But he said, if you pray, I'll turn the heart of the king. If you pray, who pray? If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, you know those iniquities that abound? He said, if you turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin, then I'll heal your land. So we as a church, we need to repent, the entire body, cross-denominationally, cross-culturally. We need to fall on our faces and repent before God, asking for his mercy and forgiveness, because we have turned our backs on many people. And when you can turn your back on a child, he said, allow the children to come, for such is the kingdom. When you can turn your back on a child, your heart is stone, and you need a wake-up call.
We are a country now that is arguing about justice and forgot completely about mercy. Nobody's talking about mercy. Without mercy, there is no justice. And I think it was Mike that was talking to me earlier today about AIDS babies. Go hold an AIDS baby. And how somehow or another that was controversial in its day, to go hold an AIDS baby. How are we not holding children? How are we not helping children? And we have to be able to see that. I was down. Alvita was standing right next to me. And I met these kids as we brought these shoes in. And I watched them try these shoes on. And I asked, where are you from? And it took them a month to get here. And what they left and why they left. And I'm thinking to myself, there'll be some people that will say that's not true. That person has been coached. But I stood in the room and I listened to them and I looked in their children's eyes and it was absolutely true. And I thought of Abraham Lincoln and I thought, if I were that dad, I would have done exactly the same thing to be here. It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
Isaiah 58:6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? This is God speaking through his prophet. To loose the chains of injustice. To untie the cords of the yoke, that thing that just binds them down. To set the oppressed free. To break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide for the poor wanderer who just crossed your border with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them? Did you see all the clothes on the border that's sitting there? And to not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Understand, this is the key for the third great awakening. The key is not for you to be more religious, not for you to deny yourself more food. It's to give your food away. It's not for you to gather more money and gather your beans. It's to give your beans and your money away. It's to stop robbing God. It's to get whatever you can into the hands of those poor wanderers so that God can see truly that prophetic word that revival will begin in Texas, according to Lou Engle,
yeah.
And according to Chuck Pierce. And this is what happens when we respond like this. Because Texas is a safe state to be able just to walk out our faith, yeah. You know, in the nation, the Lone Star State. And he says, when you do this, when we respond this way, then, this is God speaking to his prophet, then Your light will shine again, America. Yeah, we just heard about Kim Clement talking about the prophetic word over the candle's been covered. Well, it's not going to be covered because it's uncovered because we become more religious. It's going to be uncovered because we follow God. Mm. And he says, then your light, America, will shine and break forth like the dawn, and your healing will come quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord, once again, America, will be your rear guard. Then you will call upon the Lord, and he will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, this is God, here I am. Think about it. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing fingers and malicious talk, he said the church, Alan Barton said the church was the ones that was criticizing this. We've got to stop. And he said, if we do that, then our light will shine like the noonday. Go to VFNTV.com. Look in links. Look for Mercury One. It'll be a direct link where you can give specifically. And reports are 100% of what you give will go down there with those pastors, with that border patrol. And God's going to see it. Forget about what other people see. God will see you do that and make a huge difference. If you want to make a gift to a VFNTV, make it to VFNTV and say in the notes you want to go to the border, and we will see that it gets there. God bless. Dear Lord, end abortion, a release of revival for compassion and mercy in our hearts, and send this third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll